One of the things that we'll be focusing on, one of the topics, subjects we'll be focusing on this week is sleep. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this is more than me just encouraging you to get to sleep on time on a regular basis. Believe me. Are you sleep deprived? We're going to take a look at what that can really do to us. To really be sleep deprived. I don't mean, you know, last night, man, I really should have been in bed by 10:30. I didn't get to bed till 2:30. But the nights before that, you were in bed close to 10:30. More than likely, you'll be in bed close to 10:30 for the next 12 nights, the next 20 nights. I'm talking about when on a regular basis, you're really losing sleep. And I mean lots of it. You are getting to sleep 3 and 4 hours later than you should, 6 and 7 nights a week, almost every week out of the month, for months at a time. Ladies and gentlemen, that can have an impact on us. Tomorrow, we're going to take a look at that. Are you sleep deprived? You want to take that seriously. We're also going to take a look at some ways that you can get better sleep. Better sleep. That's going to be on Thursday. Then on Saturday, we're going to take a look at sleep and your position. How do you prefer to sleep? On your back, your left side, your right side, on your stomach? How do you prefer to sleep? What position? If you're on your side, do you prefer to be kind of curled up with your knees, you know, kind of coming close to your chest? Do you prefer to just be straight? We're going to take a look at what our sleep and the positions that we sleep in might tell us about us. That's this Saturday. Friday, Power Friday at 1 o'clock. I'll be speaking with Ambassador Harriet Elam Thomas. Her book, Diversifying Diplomacy, My Journey from Roxbury to Dakar, takes us on a journey of the ambassador's life as a little girl who was actually called the Little Elam Girl, to a lady who has just had a stellar career with the Foreign Service, impacting countries around the world. And she talks about how she has been impacted. She talks about her life being mentored and her life as a mentor. It's going to be fascinating. Join us this Friday at 1 o'clock. And remember, if for whatever the reason you miss a broadcast or you want to catch it again, you can simply go to speakingwith.com, click on the link that says listen online at your convenience, scroll down to the subject or the guest name of your choice and click on it, and then just start listening to the segment. Just click on whichever segments you want to listen to. Listen to that first one. You want to go straight to the second one? Cool. Listen to your heart's content. Speakingwith.com. Listen online at your convenience. And remember, the site is optimized for smartphone use, and so we're talking serious convenience. Truly, when you're ready. Don't even have to be at the computer if you don't want to use a computer. You can just pull out your smartphone, head to speakingwith.com, and do your listening. All right. Teenage pregnancy. It's been a concern to a number of people for quite some time. A lot of our girls and boys are becoming sexually active at very early ages. As a result, we were having problems not only with sexually transmitted diseases, but with pregnancy among our teens. And so a lot of people were trying to do something about that, including President Obama, who was really just doing an outstanding job that was benefiting people in general, but also particularly people of color when it came to working to reduce teen pregnancy. The Metro Courier lets us know that there is a problem that has arisen. Our current president, Donald Trump, who has really, really been working diligently to end many programs put into play by President Obama, has decided to cut funding for America's Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program. that helped to reduce the pregnancy rate in general, but particularly among black girls. This was an interesting program, too. One of the things that they found is that it really was having an impact. The plaintiffs, there are some people, some groups, states that are filing federal suits to try to prevent these cuts from going through. They're in the form of grant. The monies are in the form of grants that are provided to various organizations that try to implement the teen pregnancy prevention program, and funds are being cut. Now, you might ask, okay, why though? Why is President Trump cutting those funds? Something like teen pregnancy prevention? There must be a good reason. Well, as it turns out, the lawsuit is going forth because there are a number of people who say the reason is not a good one. Of course, you can imagine there are a lot of people who applaud these kinds of moves, and they would say, yeah, there's good reason for it. And the main reason that they give is that there's weak evidence of positive impacts of the program. Weak evidence of positive impacts. So here's the thing. This program, TPP, Teen Pregnancy Prevention Program, serves 1.2 million young people around the country. And the Trump administration is attempting to terminate the program, again, based on their notion, the Trump administration's notion, that there is not enough strong evidence that there has been a positive impact. But check this out. According to the Metro, pregnancy rates for black and Latina teens fell by almost half from 2006 to 2016. And that's according to a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report. Pregnancy rates and birth rates for black and Latina teens fell by almost 50% from 2006 to 2016. And President Obama's teenage pregnancy prevention program is widely credited for contributing to that decline. The program awards funding to groups that tackle adolescent pregnancy. And here's the thing. The Trump administration is saying there's weak evidence. The evidence that says these programs are having a positive impact on teen pregnancy are weak. The evidence, they're saying, is weak. We don't really have any proof that these programs are really working, that they're really having a positive impact. But remember what I just shared with you. That CDC report said that from 2006 to 2016, black and Latina teens' pregnancy and birth rates fell by almost 50%. And President Obama's program is widely credited for that reduction in pregnancies and births. When President Trump's administration says that there's weak evidence of positive impacts of the programs, they're basing that decision on results of the baseline, the first round of funding. You know, you have a grant that's awarded, and of course, there need to be certain goals that you have in mind, objectives you have in mind. So it's going to be they're going to be looking for results, and rightfully so. So, but what you normally do is go ahead and provide the first year of funding, give the people time to do some tweaking, do some discovery, find out what is working as far as helping them meet their goals, what is not working regarding what will help them meet their goals. And of course, reduce pregnancies, reduce births, et cetera, is going to be part of it, reduced STDs, et cetera. And so that first year is typically going to be a year of discovery. We implement the program, but now we deal with the learning curve. We find out how to modify it, how to really fine-tune this program so that we get optimal results. Then the second year brings that second round of funding, And you should be making some improvements. There should be some modifications being put into play that will help improve the outcomes. Lowered birth rates, lowered pregnancies, lowered incidences of STDs, etc. Third year, there should be an even more significant improvement because you've modified, you've learned even more, and you're really beginning to kind of get a feel for what's really going to work. And normally, 3 to 5 years, up to 5 years, it takes that to really get things down pat where, okay, we worked through this, we figured out what really works, what is truly effective, let's really push now, let's really roll. Instead of looking at third-year results, President Trump is looking at the first-year results. The first year of the first round of funding, which is the year of discovery, the year of learning, the year of finding out, the first year of finding out what will work, what will not work. You go into it with some idea, but you've got to have time to fine-tune, to do more learning. President Trump is not allowing that. Instead, he has chosen to look at the results that came up at the end of the first year. And he's using that to say that the evidence that the programs are having a positive impact is weak. Now, I know that part of the question too would be, well, what about what they're teaching? Is that part of it? Remember, his focus is the results, the outcomes, the impact. And he's saying, based on the impact that we're seeing, we're cutting the funding. But even when it does come to substance, you know, how are they approaching it? Is that they're simply saying, hey, look, use more condoms? They are saying use more condoms, particularly when it comes to protection from STDs. But that's not all they're talking about. They're talking about effective use of birth control. They are talking about protection against STDs, but they're also teaching about abstinence. They are saying, why don't you put off becoming sexually engaged? Just don't do it now. That is part of the training. That is part of the programming. Abstinence teaching. And that teaching has been having a powerful and positive impact on a lot of the teens. But when you have someone who has, and remember how our president spoke to us on the day of his inauguration, and he talked so beautifully about how there would be no more of this madness of people of color, people in the inner city being left out. It stops here and it stops now. Who's watching you? Let's find out in just a few.